carry on with our next part of the verse, is lean not on your own understanding. So please welcome her up to speak to us.
Thank you. Good afternoon. So welcome to your afternoon session. I'm speaking on relying on God's wisdom, as Emma just said. And I have to say, it's a real honour to be asked to speak today. So thank you very much, Ugochi, wherever you are. Some of you may know or recognise me from working part-time at Canaan, your local friendly Christian book and gift shop in Sains. A few of you may know me from previous churches, but I'm also aware that a number of you don't know me at all. So I was just going to give you a brief potted history. I was brought up a nominal Muslim. My father was an Indian Muslim, and my mum was Jewish, but she converted on marriage to become, again, it was nominal. I became a Christian at 18 as a result of a trip to Israel. I'd heard that you prayed at the Western Wall, also known as the Wailing Wall, and God answered prayer there. So I had a question for God, and I wrote it on a piece of paper and slipped it in the crack of the wall, like people do. And I have to say, I subsequently learned of those who'd prayed for me before then, like my born-again, spirit-filled nursery teacher, and my school friend's parents. And I say that to encourage you to keep praying for those who seem so far from the Lord and where you don't feel like you're seeing any answers. Just keep going. God may not answer in your time frame, but he does answer. The answer to my prayer came after my return from Israel, when I started an art foundation course at a local college. I started talking to a mature student on the course in the ladies' loos, as you do. And she answered the question I had for God in a way that made sense to me, so I asked her more. And our friendship developed, and she shared her testimony with me. And it was a lot of whispering at the back of one art history class. But basically, she used to mess with an Ouija board, and her death was predicted on a specific date. And so that scared her, and she stopped doing it. The date came round, and she was in a really serious motorbike accident. I think by then she'd become a Christian. She was told she'd never walk again and she'd never be able to have children. She walks absolutely fine and she's got a son about a year or two younger than I am. So I thought, if God can do this, this is no Mother Teresa. If God can do this for this very ordinary woman from Derbyshire, where I'm from, then he can do stuff for me too. So it was a very self-centered approach to committing my life to the Lord. But you know, God is a loving father and a gracious, loving saviour. And he took me as I was, as he does all of us. So I ended up doing a degree in Italian and sociology and then spent the best part of a year on community in Lee Abbey in North Devon, which is a Christian holiday and conference come retreat centre staffed mainly by volunteers, of which I was one. And it gave me a safe place to grow in my faith. From there, I did a year's program with Wycliffe Bible Translators, and I worked as an anthropologist in the Central African Republic, which was basically studying the culture to help missionaries to understand how best to share the gospel with the local people. Because, for example, they thought that shepherds were Muslims who had these weird powers over animals. So you've got to really think about how you share the gospel when people have got such different belief systems. Then I came home and my history with Proverbs 3, 5, and 5 to 6 began. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct and make straight and plain your paths, as it says in the Amplified. I had no clue what to do with my life. I kept praying and I kept coming back to that verse. Trust in the Lord. Okay. Lean not on your own understanding. That was easy. I had none regarding what to do next. But the Lord said he'd direct my paths. And he did. I went to a career centre and ended up training as a social worker. And in fact, years later, my husband said that it was the ideal job for me because I was paid to talk. I left social work over 10 years ago, which was an act of faith. And it was I since discovered that Proverbs 3, 5 to 6 was not just a verse for a season in my life, but actually a great life verse. So I'll share with you what I believe the Lord's given me for today. So, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. It comes in this order for a reason. We need to trust God in order to not lean on our own understanding. That which is based on our own learning, experience, what we see, think, feel and understand. It doesn't mean disregard your own understanding completely. We've been given our minds for a reason. It's about what we depend upon. Have you ever, maybe as a child, turned your back on someone and tipped your heels back and trusted them to catch you? I thought about asking someone to volunteer to help me demonstrate that, but I decided to let you off the hook, Carrie. But that's what relying on God's wisdom can be like. You can't always see it, in other words, understand it, but you're trusting in God's character not to drop you. I remember reading a good example of this. Christine Kane is a Greek-Australian speaker, evangelist, author, and co-founder of A21, a campaign. It's a non-profit that focuses on sex trafficking in southeastern Europe. I read an article where she talked about when she was looking at starting it. She believed God wanted her to start it in Greece. I think it might have been Thessaloniki. So she commissioned a report to look into it. A hefty report came back with multiple practical reasons, from political to goodness knows what, why starting it in Greece was really not going to work. Chris applied human wisdom in commissioning the report, which is very pragmatic in my view. The Bible never says we're to ignore common sense. But when the report came back, she still believed that Greece was where God wanted A21 to start, so went ahead anyway. And it's a successful and ongoing campaign against sex trafficking. Chris put it this way: do the sensible thing, but don't reason your way out of God's will, away from what you know he's telling you to do. But to me, this goes back to trust. You may struggle to rely on God's wisdom until you've learned that you can rely on God's love. God's wisdom and love are fully integrated. They can't operate apart from each other. The following is an excerpt from Joyce Meyer's Amplified Bible. And so the Amplified Bible with her notes and various articles and prayers and so forth in it. The Bible says many times that God loves us. But how many of God's children still lack revelation concerning God's love? The truth is, very few of God's people really know how much he loves them. If they did, they would act differently. The Lord led me to 1 John 4:16 and emphasized the importance of being conscious of his love. In the Classic Amplified translation, it says, we know, understand, recognize, are conscious of the love God cherishes for us. This means God's love should be something that we're actively aware of. But how does one find this awareness? I studied this subject for a long time and I became conscious of God's love for me through thinking about his love and confessing it out loud. I learned verses about the love of God, meditated on them and confessed them out of my mouth. I did this over and over for months, and all the time the revelation of his unconditional love for me was becoming more and more of a reality for me. And obviously that was Joyce's experience. Kim had a different experience. We're all, you have different relationships with your children. It's going to be different for different ones, but we can all learn from each other. In my opinion, the more revelation we have of God's love for us, the easier it'll be to depend on his wisdom, because we'll recognize it as a function of his love for us. What is God's wisdom? That's a big question. So I'll simply answer it this way. James 3:17 in the ESV says, "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere." Whatever direction or wisdom we may be seeking the Lord for, it won't contradict his word. So that's one way of checking if you've heard right. Sometimes following his direction may mean, for example, saying no to people who expect us to say yes and dealing with it, with their emotional response. But it doesn't mean that that's contradicting James 3:17. Wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. We can be peaceable, gentle, etc. We can control our responses and still say no to others, if that's the right thing to do. It's worth noting that God's wisdom doesn't necessarily look like we think it should and or how we would like it to look. For example, Jesus says in Matthew 5:44 in the NIV, "But I tell you, love your neighbours and pray for those who persecute you." Sorry, love your enemies. We're supposed to love our neighbours anyway. "But love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." The Message puts it this way. You're familiar with the old written law, love your friend, and its unwritten companion, hate your enemy. I'm challenging that. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the supple moves of prayer, for then you are working out of your true selves, your God-created selves. This is what God does. God's commandments are his wisdom in an instruction. And his wisdom doesn't necessarily look like we think it should or how we would like it to look. I remember hearing a well-known preacher sharing about how he regularly takes communion and at the same time he prays by name for his whole family. After this, he specifically prays for those who have spoken against him publicly on social media, written books about him, whatever. Again, he prays for them by name, and he prays God's blessing on them and their families, that their children will grow up to serve the Lord, etc. What's he doing? Not only is he obeying God's word, but ensuring that no unforgiveness is allowed to take root in his heart, which can then lead to bitterness if it's allowed to remain. Often, we don't see the whole picture, but God's wisdom takes everything into account. His wisdom not only considers the best way to handle a situation or person, but also, for example, the effect of how we handle it on our own inner well-being. So it's clear that fundamental to God's wisdom is what Jesus said were the most important commandments, Matthew 22:37-40. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This may not tell us what to do in answer to a specific question we may have for the Lord, but if we do this, it'll help us to keep our attitudes right whilst we're waiting to understand from the Lord what we should do. Has anyone else ever noticed that a bad attitude can hinder our hearing from the Lord? Oh, good, it's not just me. Loving the Lord with all that you are will also contribute greatly to your peace, that amazing gift that cannot be overrated, especially when you need wisdom for a situation. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commandments. Jesus is saying that the whole of the Old Testament, with all its wisdom, depends on these two commandments. Whatever direction or wisdom you believe that God is giving you, it won't contradict the fundamental laws of love. If it does, you haven't heard from the Lord. Our own natural instincts and desires can get in the way sometimes, let's be honest. I will just add that it does say, love your neighbor as yourself. Sometimes Christians seem to think that loving others means that they have to completely disregard their own needs. You are just as valuable, and your needs are just as important as those of others, not less and not more. It'll take God's wisdom and sometimes good old-fashioned common sense to understand from the Lord which we prioritize when. So God's love and wisdom work in tandem. I want to move on now briefly to look at the book of Proverbs because of all the wisdom that it contains about all the situations that we regularly face. Its primary author was Solomon, King David's son. In the first book of Kings, chapter 3, near the beginning of Solomon's reign, when the Lord appeared to him in a dream at night and asked him what gift he should give him, Solomon asks for wisdom, understanding to do his God-given role, and the ability to discern what was right and wrong. So Solomon's God-given wisdom is shared with us, not only in the examples that follow in the first book of Kings, but also in the book of Proverbs, which was, like I say, largely authored by Solomon. Selwyn Hughes was a pastor who became the founder of CWR. Does anyone know what CWR stands for? Yeah, well done. So Christian Ministry Crusade for World Revival. I only learned that when I was preparing for this. He's also a prolific author, including of the highly popular devotional Every Day with Jesus. I'm reading Selwyn Hughes' autobiography at the moment because a friend gave it to me. I'll be honest, it's not something I would have naturally picked up, but I'm really enjoying it. I'm finding it really readable and enjoyable, interesting, honest, at times funny, as well as there's so much that can be learned from it. We do actually have a copy of two on the Canaan table if anyone's interested in looking at it afterwards. But Selwyn says this in it. After making the decision to leave secular employment and go to Bible college, his pastor gave him some advice. I want to teach you to steal, to drink, to lie, and to swear. Seeing my astonishment, he quickly went on. I want to teach you how to steal time out of every day to read something from a certain book in the Bible, to drink from its clear, refreshing waters, to lie on your bed at night and meditate on its great themes, and to swear that by the grace of God, you will put into practice its wonderful teaching. The book I refer to is Proverbs. He told me that he was introducing me to Proverbs because he believed that the principles contained in it, when put into practice, would contribute to my spiritual growth more than I could ever imagine. He drew my attention to Solomon's opening words in the book, now available in the Living Bible paraphrase. He, Solomon, wrote them to teach his people how to live, how to act in every circumstance. What Proverbs is all about is acquiring wisdom for living, my pastor explained. And what I long for you is that you'll become a wise man. Multitudes know how to make a living, but not how to live. The more you understand the book of Proverbs, and the more you put its truths and principles into practice, the more effective you will be in living I guarantee it. Selwyn goes on to say, my study of Proverbs, perhaps more than any other book in the Bible, has supplied me with the wisdom for living. So let's look briefly at the beginning of wisdom. The beginning is always a good place to start, especially if you're a fan of the sound of music. Proverbs 9 and verse 10 in the NIV says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The word fear here means reverence or respect. It's not about being scared of God. Reverence for God is where wisdom begins. It's our starting point. Why? It's about recognizing who He is. That divine combination of love, wisdom, holiness, and pure power. And reverencing God resets our thinking. It puts Him at the center, which pushes fear out of the way, the unhealthy, unhelpful kind of fear. Our worship is an expression of reverence for God. And in my opinion, worshiping God is our highest calling. It also helps to recenter us if we've gone off piste. Reverencing or respecting God is the beginning of wisdom, and knowing Him is understanding. To rely on God's wisdom, we need to recognize that He is wise. His wisdom is complete and is completely integrated with His love, His loving kindness to us. You cannot separate God's love and His wisdom. There are many verses to back that up. For example, Ephesians 1 verse 4, which says, even in His love, He chose us. I'm going to say that again. Even in His love, He chose us. He chose you. And in verses 7 and 8, in the Passion Translation, it says, His superabundant grace is already powerfully working in us, releasing all forms of wisdom and practical understanding. So God is clearly not holding back on us if we want wisdom. But what if we don't know what to do? James 1 and verses 5 to 7, and I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible, that's James 1 verses 5 to 7, says this. Now if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without doubting. For the doubter is like the surging sea, driven and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. So James 1:5. Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to him. Has anyone ever prayed this? Reminded God that he's promised to give wisdom to all who ask him? And asked him for wisdom in a situation? I have many times. And for me, many times, the answer hasn't come straight away. But you can rest in the knowledge that he's heard you, because he always hears our prayers. As we know, prayers don't have to be clever or long, just from the heart and mixed with faith. But sometimes, the answer to this prayer for wisdom comes in different ways at different times. For example, I recently finished dealing with probate after my father died. I've never done anything like it before. I had no idea what I was doing, so I asked the Lord for wisdom. My preferred learning style is being taught in the classic classroom style. And suddenly, I was having to learn everything by myself, or so it seemed. But God. For example, I had a call out of the blue from somebody I've known for years, but never well. It's the only phone conversation we've ever had, by the way. And we ended up having a real conversation, if you know what I mean, which included her telling me something essential that I needed to know about applying for probate in good time before I needed to know it. Similarly, a few months later at a party, I ended up having a real conversation with someone who I think I'd only ever said hello to previously. who also ended up giving me some great advice in good time before I needed to know it. And there were other incidents along the way. The point is, God answered the prayer in different ways, at different times, and through different people. There's a little PS there. You might be the answer to someone else's prayer. I messaged a friend once with a word that I believed the Lord had given me for her. Her response was amazing. She'd actually fasted and prayed for a word through me about a significant decision that she'd needed to make. But she didn't tell me about it because she didn't want to put me under pressure. I had no idea that she even had this decision to make. She hadn't told me anything about it. To state the obvious, God heard her prayer for wisdom. He always hears our prayers. And being her, she then applied it. And she's now reaping the results of God's grace in answering her prayer and her own courage to go with what God said, which meant a lot of hard work on her part in very difficult circumstances at times and over a period of time, quite a long period of time. I read this somewhere. God's wisdom is often dressed in overalls. It looks like work. As it says in Proverbs 4, verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Then apply it with all that you have. Sometimes it means persevering, like it did for my friend. That's not my favorite pastime, to be honest. But true to form, God sees it differently to us. Perseverance produces character, and character hope. I have told him more than once I'm quite happy with my character, but hey-ho. James 1 verse 5 in the Christian Standard Bible says, "Now if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without doubting, for the doubter is like the surging sea, driven and tossed by the wind." The Living Bible in verse 6 says, "But when you ask him, be sure that you really expect him to tell you. For a doubtful mind will be as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind." Doubt robs you of your peace. It's unsettling. Nobody enjoys it. All I'd like to say about this is if you're struggling with doubt about whether God will answer your prayer for wisdom, don't beat yourself up about it. There's no shame in the struggles that we have. It's what we do with them that matters. In this case, I'd suggest asking God to help you dump all your doubts at the foot of the cross. You can do that in your head. You can picture the cross and say, "Lord, I look at what you did for me on the cross and I refuse to doubt. Please help me to keep my eyes on you and what you did for me on the cross to help me to continue to refuse to doubt whether you'll answer my prayers. I choose to believe that you'll answer my prayer for wisdom, and I'm thanking you for the answer by faith." The benefits, the blessings of God's wisdom are multiple. In Proverbs 3, verses 13 to 18, it says in the ESV, "Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace." So the value of wisdom is very clear. It's far greater than that which the world counts as wealth. Nothing you desire can compare with her. But I will say that our desires can distract us from hearing God's wisdom. If we want something badly enough, we can ask God for wisdom, but that desire can act as a filter. So we may think that we're listening, but we can hear what we want to hear. I'll give you an example. Years ago, a Christian guy who was engaged asked us, my husband, Simon and I, for prayer. I don't specifically recall exactly what he asked for, but basically he wanted God's view on his relationship. Simon and I are very cautious about giving specific words about that kind of thing. We strongly believe that there's certain things that people need to know for themselves. But if God asks us to give a prophetic word of that nature, it's our responsibility to give it. Anyway, Simon had a word, and it was clear as daylight to both of us that God was saying this marriage was not the way forward. However, our friend took it as a seal of approval on the relationship because he wanted it that badly. Simon and I just looked at each other. We didn't know what to say, in all honesty, so we hardly said anything and prayed later. But thankfully, the marriage didn't go ahead, as I had real concerns about it, which I hadn't shared with Simon, by the way, so he wasn't listening through a filter. Nothing you desire can compare with God's wisdom. Often, if Simon and I need God's wisdom, we'll pray, but if we have strong views on it, sometimes different views on a matter, we'll ask the Lord to help us to lay aside our preconceived ideas so we can hear his view. Sometimes we'll hear straight away. Sometimes we'll both hear confirmation of our original and differing viewpoints. So if time allows, if it's not an immediate thing, we'll pray again and trust God to show us. Sometimes a delayed action is the answer, which isn't easy for us, as we may instinctively want to get on with whatever it is. For example, when I was in social work, I had a service user who could be a tricky customer. And it was understandable why, given what she'd been through, which was absolutely horrendous. But nonetheless, she could be quite fiery and mouthy. I'd built a good relationship with her over time, but that wouldn't have made her hold back if she saw fit. And one time I came into the office one Friday to a voicemail from her, clearly upset and angry about something, asking me to call her. So I asked the Lord when I should call her. I could have done it that day, although I had a lot of other things to do, but I thought the Lord said to leave it until Monday, so I did. When I called her on Monday, she was initially a bit off with me, but I answered her question and she was fine, although it wasn't the answer that she wanted. Then she said, "It's a good job you didn't call me on Friday, or I'd have bitten your head off." Not an eternal matter, but I'm quite attached to my head. The point is, God cares, and sometimes the delayed action is wisdom, however counterintuitive it may feel, depending on your character. I'm thinking, worship team, if you have an opportunity, thank you. Sometimes time doesn't allow, and you have to make a decision and go with it, even if you're unsure. If it's right, it'll become obvious. If it's a mistake, then ask the Lord to bring good out of it. Whilst this is an aside, as Carrie has heard me say hundreds of times, I won't put you on the spot. God can bring good out of absolutely anything if we'll ask him. The first time I asked God to bring good out of a situation in which I had no clue how he could answer was when I was facing my grandmother's funeral. There were lots of family dynamics, and that's all I'm going to say about that. But God answered. Now I regularly pray if, for example, something unpleasant happens in difficult circumstances, if I make a mistake, whatever it is, and I say, "Lord, please bring good out of even this. And I trust you and I thank you for it." And I never sweat about how he'll answer, because frankly, I don't usually have the energy for the mental gymnastics to even try. I just know that he will. And I've seen it so many times. Back to the point, nothing you desire can compare with God's wisdom. So to close, the more we trust God, the more we recognize his wisdom as a function of his love the easier it'll be to not lean on our own understanding, but rely on his wisdom. Do the sensible thing, but don't reason your way out of God's will. Fear of God, reverence for God, is the beginning of wisdom. And if you lack wisdom, ask and don't doubt. Most, if not all of us, are facing situations or know someone else who is, in which they need God's wisdom. So shall we pray? Father God, I thank you that you've promised in your word that if we lack wisdom, we can ask you, and if we believe and don't doubt, we know that you'll give it to us. We choose to trust you and refuse to doubt. We commit these situations and people on our hearts into your hands. Please give us or them the wisdom that's needed, and please help us to hear your voice clearly, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.